Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. It is the Mean Green Nation podcast. On a decidedly unhappy morning when, we pick up the pieces after a North Texas loss. And I think it's important to put it all into perspective, you know. People are fighting wars and fighting fires, fighting disease. And, real bad things are happening right now. Losing a little old football game ain't that bad. Now, that said, we care about this team, right? I mean, we're doing a podcast about it. You are listening to the podcast about it. We're reading about it. We watch the game. You know, we are pretty emotionally invested in the footballings of, 18 to 22-year-olds, and that's the facts of it. So let's talk about it, right? I mean, we spend a lot of time and energy on this team, and, it's only right to discuss it and discuss our feelings today. We are without Mr. Aldo Avina. We had some scheduling conflicts, so I got his hot sports opinions here in a text message. I briefly looked at him, but we'll discuss them together. So North Texas lost 34-31 yesterday, and this after being up 28-0 late in the second quarter. Right, at halftime it was 28-10. Not a bad position to be in, you know. And it all fell apart there. Now, that would be a bad story. That would be an awful story to talk about. However, this is not the first time we saw it. This is part three of the same story, right? North Texas was up 21-6 on Louisiana Tech early in the first quarter. I think it was after one quarter. Ended up losing that game. I think they only scored 6 more points in that one. They were up 21-10 against UAB in Birmingham in the big game that was basically for the division. Ended up losing that game also. Not scoring in the second half, right? By the way, UAB has, I saw somebody tweet, they've outscored all of the Texas Conference USA teams like 114-24. And North Texas had the 21 of those 24. So, what do we make of this, right? I think everybody's at a loss for what to do. Everybody has their own thoughts on it. Like, oh, we're just changing the game. I've seen the staff is calling different plays. Why are they calling different plays? I've seen the staff is calling the same plays. Why are they calling the same plays? I've seen we're not making adjustments. I've seen we're not executing. The other team, you have to give them credit. I think it's a little bit of all those things and some of the same old issues that we've seen all season. And, you know, I think if you follow the podcast or read the blog or read the tweets or even the email newsletter that is occasionally sent out, you know a couple things that this offense hasn't been super efficient all season long, and somewhere around a month and a half into the season, we kind of realized that was going to be the case, right? North Texas is not going to all of a sudden change who they were. Maybe get some improvement, but it's only going to be a marginal improvement. A lot of times, the team that you are after a month, maybe 2 months into the season, is going to be the team you're going to be the rest of the way. So North Texas is going to be this. This is the team this season. Much like last year, the defense was pretty bad, gave up big plays on third down. That didn't really change, right? When it came down to playing good teams in the Conference USA Championship game and Troy in the New Orleans Bowl, you know, that's what we saw, right? We saw that team. Couldn't convert on short yardage, gave up sacks, you know, all those things, right? All those things that appeared throughout the year, they're exacerbated when you have a good team going against you. Now, occasionally you can just kind of break through and you're like, wow, what happened to this team? Where is this team, right? That's what happens. A lot of people are like, well, Old Dominion had one of the worst defenses, you know, in the league. How could we not score on them? Well, we scored 28 points on them in a half. That's where it was. It happened and it worked. That's you know, what the deal is there. The fact that the offense couldn't get anything in the second half is a North Texas problem, because it's happened against Old Dominion, who has some talent on defense, right? They have a good defensive line. O'Shane Zimenez is really good. But it's also happened against UAB. It's also happened against Louisiana Tech, right? I think the common theme there is that they have an off defensive line that can get to the quarterback or cause some pressure while also flooding the field with defenders, right? So let's take it to the top, right? The good and the bad. North Texas comes out, gets an interception. Rico Bussey scores from 23 yards out. North Texas up 7-0, right? 3 minutes into the game. Then you get another stop. DeAndre Torrey scores some 37 yards out, 14-0. The run game looks good. Hey, things are rolling. Get another stop. I think North Texas went 3 and out somewhere in there. Torrey, another 7-yard run on a nice 7-play, 54-yard drive, right? I think in that one, North Texas didn't get to a third down. The offense is looking great. It's 21-0, kind of rolling. The stadium's emptying out. Finally, Rico Bussey scores the 26 yards out on a little slant, takes it to the house, right? 10 plays, 54 yards. You know, North Texas is rolling. And, you know, everything looks good. The run game looks good. The offense is crisp. We've seen this story before. Old Dominion, they go down 3 plays, 64 yards, score a touchdown, right? Lala Davis, freshman, scores a touchdown. And I made a mention on Twitter that, hey, look, Old Dominion is good. They have talent. The story leading into the season is that they've completely underperformed. They have a lot of upperclassmen and guys that have shown that they can win. I mean, a few members of this team were on a 10-win team just like 3 years ago. We've seen Isaiah Harper, who had a big 53-yard catch on third down. In this one, he's the one that scored twice against North Texas last season. Travis Fulgham, Jonathan Duhart. I keep calling him Josh. I think I called him Josh in the preview. Jonathan Duhart is good. They're big, like 6'3 receivers. They can go up and get the ball. And we saw that again in this one. A couple of end zone fades to their talented wide receivers. They can do that. They've done that against everybody. They've done that against Virginia Tech, who was then the number 13 team in the country. They can throw the ball up and let their guys go make a play. That was always going to be a concern. When North Texas was winning, right, when they were undefeated in non-conference play, I wrote about how North Texas was able to stop teams. They were giving up some of those plays occasionally, right? They gave up a big play. I think Liberty even got a nice long pass down the field. But the North Texas defense said, hey, we're fine with that. We'll give you the occasional big play, but we're going to get enough turnovers, we're going to get enough sacks, and we're going to make enough plays in the secondary to overcome that. And we're going to give our offense the ball enough times that they're going to go down and score. And eventually you just won't be able to catch up. Now, that was the case for the first part of the season. And the second part of the season, the offense hasn't been really holding up their end of the bargain, and the defense hasn't been as good, right? So that's part of this whole thing, right? But the defense has been pretty good. Now you look at it and say, hey, they allowed 34 points. Maybe that's not so great, and you'd be right. This is one where they could have used a little more help from the offense in the second half. But Old Dominion did go on a 14-play, 71-yard drive, complete 2 fourth-down conversions, one on a 4th-and-3, where the running back did, you know, some second effort to get that 3 yards. He had him almost in the backfield, slipped a dude, dove forward for the first down. And then 4th-and-6, a floating pass to Jonathan Duhart on Tyreek Davis. And, you know, Kyrie Muhammad was not in the field because he spit in Jonathan Duhart's face at the end of the second half, got ejected. That kind of changed the game. Now, one man doesn't change the entire defense, right? Although, you know, Kimon Hall's absence in the Louisiana Tech game kind of changed things for a little bit because Louisiana Tech was out there throwing to that side a lot. Cam Johnson came in, did an okay job for a while, but then just kept getting burnt by some amazing plays. So, you know, it does change the calculus of it, but that's football, and you have to have a plan. You always have to have a plan B. I think I saw some guy, one of the former planners for the president, talking about the logistics of, you know, planning an event. He's like, you always have a rain plan, right? Like, you always have something just in case everything goes wrong. If your plan is, if everything goes perfect, we should win, and you don't have a plan B or C, then you're not a good planner, right? So that said, North Texas did a decent job. They got some stops in the second half. It wasn't like Old Dominion just walked down the field every time. They got some 3 and outs for the offense. And, you know, the offense turned the ball over. Mason Fine threw an interception, only his second on the season. I think he went 300 pass attempts. I asked the North Texas football, hey, was that a program record? And they said, we didn't really keep that stat for a while, so maybe. It's at least a record now, right? Mason Fine threw an interception. DeAndre Torrey, who has been balling. He has 12 touchdowns on the season, 14 total touchdowns. I think he's, you know, set some records. I saw the, you know, Mean Green, the sports and stats and information, talk about him. What do you have? Yeah, he has a top 10 in single season touchdowns, receiving, rushing and returns. He has 14, tying Abner Hayes for seventh place. And single season rushing TDs, he has 12, tying Mike Jones for seventh place. Some pretty good company there. He can score. You can tell that he's shifty in the open field. You see why they want him in there, and you can see why he has a number one job. And you also see why everybody's frustrated with him, because he failed to convert a fourth and one, and also he turned the ball over. He fumbled, and he almost fumbled a second time during that time when the broadcast was out. By the way, Conference USA had a bad day broadcasting, and largely not really their own fault, but like this Old Dominion produced broadcast was pretty terrible. The camera was looking all over the field. It was like an impressionist broadcast. It was very terrible. And I know the excuse is, hey, they're students. You can't really just give them, you know, they can do, they're learning. Well, number one, maybe no. Maybe get some people that have learned already and not learning. And two, some former North Texas production assistants have said, yeah, we would have done better than that. You know, have some standards, Old Dominion. So that said, that aside, I think being sport, like Legion Field, right, which will probably host the conference championship game if UAB is able to beat Middle Tennessee, or Middle Tennessee, you know, loses one more game, their next game. I think they, what do they have next? I think it's only the UAB game. Anyway, if they lose, Legion Field is going to host a conference championship game, probably. And their internet went out, killing the broadcasts for both radio teams in that game, Southern Miss and UAB, and for BN Sport. So BN Sport's broadcast team had to do a over-the-phone call. You could hear it, and you could hear them accidentally hit the button. I don't know if they had it on speaker or something. The guy was talking into the receiver there. That was strange, and, you know, kind of hilarious, but bad for the conference. Even though it's not really the conference's fault, you know, that was a Legion Field thing. Anyway, back to the Mean Green. DeAndre Torrey balling out, 145 yards total, right? I think he had 34 yards on the ground, five catches for 34 yards. You can see why he's getting time, and much like Jeff Wilson before him, you can see why the team is frustrated with his fumbling, right? Like, wow, we're relying on this guy, but he sometimes fumbles, you know, and that can really change the game. North Texas' best drive in the third and fourth quarters, right, like overlapped, was the drive that he had, and then he fumbles, right? And then UAB ends up going down and scoring. So there's a lot of things in it, right? It's not just like all of a sudden the offense is bad. It's some of the things that were working in the first half didn't work in the second half. And some of the things were not just like all of a sudden the defense is just better. And like, well, they have five plays. They scored on all five. And now we know what five plays are coming next and we'll stop them. It's not really like that. Some of the plays that were working in the first half, you know, kind of shouldn't have worked. And then some of the plays that didn't work in the second half should have worked. There's a couple times that Jalen Guyton has dropped passes. Change the down and distance, right? You have to overcome that. In the first half, there was a couple times where Mason Fine got sacked. I want to say he got sacked on second and five, made it second and 10, and North Texas was able to overcome that negative play, right, and get back on schedule and went down and score a touchdown. In the second half, there was one where Mason Fine avoids a sack, rushes for a yard, right, but they're not able to overcome that. And I think the next two plays were a couple short passes to DeAndre Torrey, and he only got 5 yards, and they needed six or something like this. My point is that it's a whole series of things. My thesis is that perhaps North Texas still hasn't recovered from losing Jeff Wilson. He did so much for the team, and I talked about this a lot. I even talked about it in the preview. And I said, who's the guy that's going to turn, you know, negative plays into positive plays? Or even negative plays into just nothing plays, right? Get you out of bad positions and make a play. Who's going to execute when you need somebody to execute and turn something into something amazing, right? A little water to wine kind of thing. And if you're like, what do you mean, Adam, right? What are you talking about? What does that mean, right? Because, you know, we got Mason Fine. He's, you know, turning sacks into plays. Yeah, that's true. That's very true, and he's doing a lot of that. I think he needs some compliments on the other side. He needs somebody to catch those passes that shouldn't be caught. And again, if you're like, what are you talking about? That pass that shouldn't be caught. Well, again, look at Travis Fulgham. Look at Josh Duhart. Look at Adrian Hardy from Louisiana Tech. Look at Teddy Veal from Louisiana Tech. Look at Rashid Bonnet from Louisiana Tech. Look at those guys that are making plays that shouldn't be made, right? Was it Xavier Bosey from UAB, you know, catching a 40-yard bomb to get him out of the end zone? Those kinds of plays that are huge and clutch and very important that you need to turn a drive that is stalling out into a drive that continues, right? That's what's happened. North Texas has had too many of those where they just don't succeed. Mason Fine against UAB, you know, rushing for 13 yards, and the next one he rushes for like, you know, 10 to 12 and he fumbles, right? That's the kind of play you need him not to fumble. You need him to get a first down and get down and the drive to continue. Jalen Guyton, you need him to catch that pass, break a tackle, turn it up, and go score a touchdown. And you're like, that's a lot to ask. Yeah, yeah, it is. That's how you go from okay to great, you know? That's how you go from great to legendary, you know? Those are the kinds of plays that you make that win you championships. And, you know, I'm not blaming them saying you should have done that, but, you know, those are the things that they need to do, right? If you're asking, how do you blow a 28-point lead? Well, it's when you need first downs in the second half and you don't get them. Well, why were they not getting them? Well, I mean, nobody could make a play. That's it. You know, those are just facts. There was a lot of instances where guys didn't make a play. Fourth and one, we need a first down, hand it off to DeAndre Torrey. He doesn't get it. That's the offensive line. You know, got to make a play, got to block these dudes, got to get forward for a yard. Didn't happen. Almost fumbled the ball. Contrast that with, again, Old Dominion on fourth and three, hand it off, they get the first down. They ran the ball and got first down from fourth and three. We can't run the ball on fourth and one. Fourth and six from the 40, what was it, the 45? They threw a, I think it was a 40, threw a 36-yard pass to their, you know, amazing receiver. He jumps up, grabs the ball, first down, right? Where's North Texas doing that kind of thing? Who has caught a clutch first down when we've needed it, right? You got to look back to last year, right? Mike Lawrence catching that, you know, 40-yard bomb against UTSA, right? Those are the kinds of plays that were made last year, haven't been there this year. And, you know, if you say, well, they were luck last year. Okay, well, you know, there you go. That's why you need a little luck. We're not getting that luck. We're not making our own luck. We're getting in our own way a lot. Again, dropping passes. That's not something that is an exceptional play. They're just a routine play, like Seth Luttrell says. Oh, we got to make routine plays. And I'm hesitant to criticize the coaching staff. And not because I'm just, you know, flack for the staff. But I just don't really see, and, you know, this may be my own inexperience. I don't know, right? I could be just, I don't know. I don't know better. But I'm telling you, I don't really see what they could do better, right? I mean, let's talk about Seth Luttrell. I've seen some people, some hot sports opinions like, oh, we got fired as a squad. Somebody got to get fired. Seth Luttrell has been an unmitigated success at North Texas. Consider where you started. 1-15 team the year before, right? A team that had quit for the large part, had locker room issues, a lot of guys out for their own gain. Quit halfway through the season. Couldn't stop anybody, couldn't score, right? One of the worst offenses in the nation, you know, probably college football history. had lost 66-7 to an FCS squad. Like, not even just lost to them, but just got completely destroyed on homecoming, right? I don't know how much lower you can go than that, other than if, like, you know, there were, like, violations committed, right? So, just about rock bottom. That's the team he inherited. The old coach said, nobody can recruit here. It's too hard. It's too hard to recruit to North Texas, right? He turns that around, right? This team is 7-3 on the season. Two coaches ago, the guy never won six games. Right? I think that was right. He had six games. Todd Dodge only had six wins in his time there. This coach got 7 in a year, right? He has the greatest quarterback in North Texas history. He went out, found him, developed him. Two interceptions on the season, right? 23 touchdowns? 23 touchdowns, two interceptions. The career leader in passing yards. Let's see if I can just go down his list right now because I'm looking at it. 8,000 passing yards, broke the record. You know, Mitch Mayer had that record for 24 years. I think he's the first back-to-back 3,000-yard passer, and he was only like the, what is it, 7th 3,000-yard passer? And, you know, he's going to be one of only two that's going to throw for 4,000 yards. It's ridiculous. I think he broke Dan Marino's all-time passing record. He's good. And you know what? He's probably not going to keep these records for very long if North Texas keeps on this pace. We can get better quarterbacks, I think, you know, bigger, stronger, faster, taller quarterbacks. And, you know, if you're like, well, you're knocking Mason Fine, what are you doing? Cliff Kingsbury set a bunch of records at Texas Tech, and then those were broken by a series of quarterbacks, and culminating in Graham Harrell, you know, breaking a record there. North Texas records were not super high to begin with, and Mason Fine is great, and he's done amazing. But I think North Texas can get better quarterbacks in here also. And that's a testament to the staff and the administration, what everybody's done. And my point, I'm saying all this as a compliment, that Seth Luttrell and Graham Harrell and everybody on the staff have done a great job turning what was an awful offense to one of the better ones in the G5. Even though the offense was terrible in the second half, even the offense was terrible in the second half against UAB, even though the offense was bad in the second half against Louisiana Tech, and even though this team hasn't been efficient, they still, I think, averaging, was it 472 yards a game, something like this? That's on pace to break last year's all-time North Texas record. So as great as last year's team was, this one is on pace to be just a little bit better in terms of yards per game. This is a really good offensive team, and it should be better. And even just saying that this is a team that should be better given what we've seen from it, tells you how good this staff has been, right? In particular, Seth Luttrell, in particular, Graham Harrell. And for whatever you want to say about Graham Harrell, right, I've yet to see concrete examples of bad play calling or bad development. Scored 31 points. Those are winnable points. That's a winnable total. Holding that lead is imperative. Yes, they made mistakes. Yes, they have room to improve. But that doesn't mean you fire the guy. I think that would be silly. Graham Harrell has developed the best quarterback in North Texas history. You don't fire a guy for that. I think that's taken like 8 steps too far and maybe overreacting to the situation, right? I think you got to put it into context. Last season's team won a handful of games that could have gone the other way very easily. And if, you know, you consider that this jump into this one, into losing games that they shouldn't have lost, that's different than maybe winning games that maybe they shouldn't, right? Winning that UTSA game was unlikely. It maybe shouldn't have happened. Losing to Louisiana Tech was unlikely and maybe shouldn't have happened. There you go. Great balance, right? 50-50. 50-50 games, the coin flip there, right? What North Texas has done is incredible. They've developed guys that a lot of people didn't have a whole lot of good feelings about. Even Smiley last season, he was a relative disappointment in North Texas. Yeah, he dropped a lot of balls in his first couple years here. He was injured a lot. In his final few months of his senior season, he was the best receiver North Texas had. And that's a testament to the development of the coaching staff, his wide receivers coach, his offensive coordinator, his head coach. You see a lot of growth in a lot of guys. So even though Jalen Guyton's struggled this season, right, even though Mike Lawrence has kind of been schemed out of things and he hasn't got the same number of passes yet, look at the development of Rico Bussey, who's been the guy or been a guy that is catching passes and doing things that we all hoped he would do, right? At that end of his first season, 2016, when he showed signs of this in the bowl game against Army. Look at Jalen Darden, who's getting better every week and looks dangerous every week. You know, this is how it's going. Even Cujo Young is making some plays. He had a 13-yard grab. Everybody's developing. This offense is getting better every week. 28 points and scoring the way they did is a sign. And the next step for them is holding on to that 28 points and maybe scoring at least 14 points in the second half, right? And then scoring 28 points in the second half some other time. If you look at it in that context, hey, they're getting better, and this is a step in development, right? Getting a lead like this is a step. That's a giant step from where it was, because it used to be North Texas was behind this quick. It used to be that North Texas couldn't even score a touchdown, right? Baby steps along the way. Last year was shootouts. This year, get a big lead. Next year, I don't know. Get a big lead and hold it. I don't know. It doesn't quite work that way, but you can see development in this team. I see the development in this team. So I'm very hesitant to call for anybody's head because they blew a lead like this. Is it bad? Yes, it's very bad. Is it acceptable? No, it's not acceptable. But, you know, what does that mean? You know, like, what do you go in there and fire anybody? If you have one button and it just fires somebody, you're going to throw out, you know, the baby with the bathwater kind of thing. You're throwing out very good coaches in an era where other teams would gladly like to have, you know, Graham Harrell. Look at UTSA be terrible right now. I think their yards per play are like at 3. They can't move the ball. They had less than 100 yards through 3 quarters last night. Do you think they would take Graham Harrell right now? Yes. Yes, they would. They'd give him lots of money or as much money as they could muster. And they'd say, please, coordinate our offense. We'd like to score 28 points in the first half. Even then, right, it's pointed at Graham Harrell and say, all right, you know, what did you do wrong, right? You're calling the wrong plays. You're not preparing them. Or you're not getting as creative. Or you're being a little predictable. Maybe. I mean, it's hard to get a good idea when you're not with them through the week and seeing what they're seeing, right? You're not with them on the practice field and seeing what guys can do, what they can't do, and you're not seeing it in the post-game film session, right? That said, we can take a look at some of these things. I see an execution problem. And I know that's like an easy way to blame the players, but I can see how it's hard. Like, hey, on that one where DeAndre Torrey couldn't get a 4th-and-1 rush, right? On that drive, they had run for 14 of the 19 yards gained, right? The run game looked like it was doing good things, right? And I mean, you could just—I can hear somebody saying, "If they threw the ball, well, they run the ball. They were doing really good running it." I mean, yeah. So you try to run it again, and then you don't get it. I don't know why. Guys are missing blocks. They're ready for it. You have to have offensive line dominance, or at least consistency. Then you can build off things. You can say, I know what our line can do, and then I can ask them to do those things. I know what our line can't do, and I can ask them not to do those things. That's real easy. But when your offensive line does some things really well, and you say, all right, sweet, let's do that, and then they completely fall flat in their face on that same play they were so successful at just a few drives earlier. I mean, what do you do? Was it the defense got better? Was it the defense adjusted? I mean, okay. How? Adjusted how? I mean, this coaching staff is good enough that they can react to adjustments, you know? For all the criticism of Graham Harrell, Seth Luttrell is there, and he's providing some guidance, right? Seth Luttrell's blamed himself a couple times for some of the calls they have had. Sometimes you just get unlucky, and some of that's happened, right? Some of the fumble, the Mason Fine fumble in the UAB game that I brought up, that was a little bit unlucky. But you could also say, why is Mason Fine our primary runner at the time? Well, because we couldn't run the ball. Well, the offensive line was getting manhandled by the very good defensive line from UAB. Sometimes you're just not as good as the other team, right? And, you know, you can't complain. It's like, you know, if I'm guarding Check and he backs me down in the post, turns around and dunks in my face, I'm like, well, you know, there's not a whole lot I could do, right? This offensive line has been an issue, has been a concern for three seasons. And unfortunately, that is very difficult to change on the fly. You can always get a better quarterback, just one guy. It's very hard to get, you know, three new guys and then get them working together. Because the offensive line is a very rhythm kind of thing. You have to trust the guy next to you to know what he's going to do. You have to be able to read him, know when he's going to let go of a block. And, you know, yeah, there's a whole lot of coordination that you need on the offensive line. And although this line has improved, it still shows some of those same signs of those same weaknesses that they've had. And it just makes sense, right? I mean, you know, you're not going to improve that much in a season or two, and some of them have been injured. It's a process, and, you know, you can say, okay, well, have you guys addressed it? Are you trying to get better? Yes. They've, you know, improved. We've seen some improvement. We've talked about improvement. We've praised improvement. And they've recruited well. They've tried to get guys that can play offensive line that they think will be better and fit in the system. So that will improve. It's going to take some time. And, you know, it's one of the most vital pieces. And so it is an issue when Mason Fine's running for his life. You know, nobody is excited about things. The other issue is, you know, like drop passes, routes that are not super crisp. There was a time Mason Fine rolled out right. Jalen Guyton is calling for the ball, but he's like in the middle of two dudes, and Mason Fine tells him to go deeper. And then he ends up, I think that was the one he just rolled out and got a yard. You got to have better communication, better field awareness, better ability to get open, find open space. And they work on a lot of this stuff. I don't know what happened in this specific case. I'm not really calling out Jalen Guyton. That's just the one I saw, and I'm using that as an example. I don't know what's happening, but I know that is something that really good teams are really good at, right? When the play breaks down, everybody knows what they're supposed to do, and you can make a play. Mason Fine has improved in that area, right? It used to be he would throw an interception. I always hated when he rolled out right because he would try to chuck it downfield and make a play. And I know against UTSA in particular, he's thrown like three or four interceptions that way in two seasons. This season, again, only the two interceptions. He's taking care of the ball so much better, right? But now we need the next step, right? Step one is don't turn the ball over, right? Step two is make a smart decision. Don't lose yards. Don't throw an interception. Step three is make a play, right? Now you know what the bad things you can do, but, you know, you can make a play. Again, this is what I was saying. We don't have that right now. We don't have a guy that's going to turn nothing into a touchdown. And that's very rare. It's not like a knock. I mean, very few teams have guys like that. Old Dominion has a couple guys like that, but they're also, you know, just a three-win team. So there's only so much that can do for you, right? You need execution. You need a bit of luck. They've been a little bit unlucky. But you can see what happens when they take on a really talented team like Virginia Tech. They can throw it up there. Those guys can make plays. You know, what are you going to do? You saw what happened here. Duhart caught a four-yard touchdown pass. I think he was being guarded by Keemon Hall, one of our best corners. Not much you could do there. Blake LaRussa does throw a very nice jump ball, a very nice fade pass. He's like Jason Garrett way back when. He just kind of a one-trick pony. There was another one, Josh, I think Travis Fulgham had the same kind of play. Not a whole lot you could do, right? The answer is don't put yourself in a position where their one thing that they do well can beat you. And North Texas did that. Final drive, you know, up 31-27. Can't get a stop. You know, stop them on running the ball, so that way on 4th and 6, they don't beat you down the field with a 36-yard pass on 4th and 6. Right, that's where you stop them, not on the other one, because the other one's understandable. Tyreek Davis guarding Jonathan Duhart is a mismatch in their favor. It's not Tyreek Davis's fault, right? It's not even the defensive coordinator's fault at that particular moment. it is everybody else's fault when they didn't stop them on 4th and 3 the time previous, right? That's where you get them. That's where you stop it. That's where you win the game. And then the offense, hey, convert don't go 3 and out. Run the ball better. That's where you need to run the ball, and they couldn't, right? I think that's the issue with this. What do we call it? Finesse kind of run game. Even though we try to line up and power our way through it, we're just not powerful enough to do that successfully. I don't really know what the answer is other than get you guys in. Because, like I said, they're not going to just all of a sudden get bigger, stronger, and faster in 2 weeks and, do a better job that way. This team is the team that they are. You got to get better, though. Again, execution all comes down to that. And that means a whole lot of things. That means everybody knowing your route. That means Mason Fine firing good passes. That means not throwing an interception. And he's done a good job, but he threw 2 interceptions. It's 2 interceptions too many. And there's been a few other drop ones, right? He's been a little lucky that way. Let's take a look at Aldo's his hot sports opinions. He said, we're going to lose a game we weren't supposed to. That's number one. And I agree with that. I felt it. I felt we were going to lose one of these 3 games, Old Dominion, FAU, and UTSA. We just had that tendency. We've so far beat teams that we're supposed to, but you just kind of feel it. Consistently inconsistent all season, says Aldo. Right, yeah. Like I said, in the SMU game, lost in that domination of the SMU Mustangs was the fact that the offense underperformed in the first half. And at halftime, the little halftime talk, Seth Luttrell was like, yeah, we got to do better on offense. We're terrible. They couldn't run the ball well. And it was just very inefficient. That has been the entire season. They were like that against Liberty. They were like that against Arkansas a little bit. They didn't really have to do a whole lot against Arkansas. But they only had a couple quarters where they shined. But again, the defense dominated the other part, so they didn't really need to do too much. He says we're not adjusting to their adjustments. Now, again, I haven't seen anything that the defense is doing completely differently. Seth Luttrell and I think Bill Clark and every other coach has said, yeah, we didn't do anything different in the second half. And they just talk about how their guys played harder. And, I mean, some of that is true. North Texas has been running a lot of same plays, and you say, well, again, why are you running the same play? But those plays just got you big touchdowns. Those plays got you big yards. You're gonna run those plays. If you try to anticipate their adjustments, you can kind of get in a weird loop where you're just overthinking yourself. I don't mind being simple. I don't mind trying to just out execute. And again, that's what the air raid does. You have a handful of plays, and you say we're gonna execute them better than you can stop them, because you may know what play we're going to run, but we're going to run it better because we've repped it so many times that we're good at it. So that's one aspect of the air raid that North Texas has, and they're just not good enough executing some of these plays. Again, catch the ball. That's what I think. Execution is a two-way street. We don't execute because they take some part of our game out, and we don't overcome it some other way. I'm not sure exactly what his point is, but it sounds to me like we've tried to do a couple things, right? You know, I said we relied a lot upon Jeff Wilson last season, right? We ran the ball a lot, right? We lined up in with a halfback, with an H-back, I mean, and, you know, try to power run our way into things. This season, when that wasn't quite working so well, we said, okay, let's go 5 wide, let's throw the ball a lot. Now, the problem is that we're not good at doing that. Mason Fine has to run for his life too much. They bring pressure right up the middle. He's taking a lot of hits. So that's not really a plus for us, right? We're best when we have some balance of the threat of the run and, you know, the threat of the pass. The problem is that North Texas could line up in four wides last season and run the ball successfully with Jeff Wilson, right? Keep him honest. Haven't been able to do that so well this time. The best runs for this North Texas team comes in heavier sets. Problem is, well, we can't throw the ball so well, right? That takes out a slot receiver. It takes out a Darden. It takes out a Mike Lawrence. And again, you're like, well, why are they not getting involved? Because we can't always line up in 4 wide with them out there. Because we're not so successful running the ball, and we're not so amazing passing the ball that way. how do you win that, right? So we line up in these run positive formations, and we try to throw the ball, do some play actions, or do some things that are successful from those looks, and you know, they defend them well. Again, you're saying, well, where are they taking it away? Sometimes those are successful, right? 37-yard run. Sometimes they're very bad, negative plays on those same looks. Are we overrated? No, we're a good mid-major. Yeah, Mason Fine is doing all he can despite his offensive line, but he can't Manziel his way out of pressure, escaping through the back of the pocket all the time. DeAndre Torrey is being productive in general despite struggles in the short run game. Yeah, look. DeAndre Torrey was never supposed to be a power back. That was supposed to be Lauren Easley. And when Easley was out there breaking tackles, we looked our best, right? North Texas offense looked the best. He was able to get some of those short yardage plays and power over guys and, you know, help the offense be efficient. You can see them move really well and then get to 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, where other teams are able to easily get those. North Texas kind of struggles. And ever since the UAB game where they kind of got stoned in a lot of those situations, they've looked a little hesitant to me. And again, just to me, I don't know. But Southern Miss kind of gave them some fits. Rice kind of gave them some fits. And, you know, in this one, Old Dominion did something similar. I don't know what play North Texas can hang their hat on, right? Last season, I thought, hey, if we could just keep the defense honest with our pass game, nobody can stop Jeff Wilson in the open field, right? If we can stop them from loading the box against them, that's a plus. We can always run with Jeff Wilson. And as they go up to stop him, we can burn him over the top, one-on-one coverage to Guyton, one-on-one coverage to Smiley, one-on-one coverage to Bussey. This season, right, and I guess this is to Aldo's point, supporting his point here, when they line up and say, okay, you're not going to throw the ball, right, you're going to have to run. We say, okay, and we are unable to run, at least at the level that we need to keep them honest. And to me, that's the long and the short of it, right? They can get pressure with their front four, and sometimes when they bring a delayed blitz up the middle, five or six, and we are not good at countering that, at least not at a level consistent enough to, you know, help us play four quarters instead of two, instead of one and a half, instead of, you know, two and a half. And, you know, the defense is hasn't been so great. They got an interception. They didn't come up with enough stops. They didn't get a stop late, right? Hey, this defense has been really good. Let's not overpraise them, though, because they did, again, allow a 14-play, 74-yard game-winning drive. And that lost the game for them. The against UAB, something similar, right? UAB's backed up, they throw it deep, get a 40-yard pass, and I think they converted two first downs before kicking a field goal that gave Mason Fine very little time, right? If you get a stop against UAB there, you give Mason Fine another shot. Not in that game specifically, not that that would have done too much, but, you know, allowing a long, I think that one was another 14-play drive, a long drive, letting them get points puts you in a bad position. Yeah, overall, the defense has been really good, and I think overall the defense has been better than the offense, but, I mean, you want answers, right? Why are we losing these games? That's why. The defense gave up 34 points from the late second quarter. It was at 2 minutes 50 seconds on. From that point in time, they gave up 34 points. That's a lot of points, in case you're wondering. 24 points in the second half, right? So as good as the offense was, the defense was as bad in the second half, right? 28 points in the first half for North Texas, didn't score except for the 3 points in the second. Well, the defense allowed 24 points in the second half and 10 in the first. Can't win like that. We thought if the defense is good enough, the offense would, you know, win games for them. Well, that hasn't been the case. I don't know what the easy answer is. Again, I think it lies in the offensive line and improving the pass protection. And hey, maybe Mason Fine has to play better. I know that sounds like blasphemy, right? What? Mason Fine? But, you know, maybe he's being too safe, right? Maybe he needs to try to fire a pass in there. Maybe the interception rate is too low, right? Maybe he's being too safe. And, you know, throwing the ball away is not the answer. Maybe he needs to chuck it deep and let his guys go make a play. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. We you know, that's certainly a possibility. Because right now, what we're seeing is that North Texas needs something, and they're not getting it from anybody. If it's DeAndre Torrey, make a play, don't fumble. Okay, do that. If it's Jalen Guyton, make a catch, don't drop it. Let's do that. If it's Rico Bussey, get open quicker for Mason Fine, maybe. Maybe it's make a catch and double coverage. Sometimes you just have to make a play that shouldn't be made, right? And if they're not able to do that, they're going to lose again. FAU is coming in here on Thursday, and they kind of found their stride. Kareth White ran for like 160, and Devin Singletary ran for 150 last week against who did they play? Western Kentucky. And the game before that, Motor Singletary ran all over FIU, who has a solid defense and a good defensive line. They kind of figured out the quarterback issue. They're not throwing so many interceptions, and now they're able to run the ball again. And North Texas better, you know, figure it out, because they could have more losses in store, right? The 10-win season that we thought was almost assured, right? Almost. It's right there, favored in the rest of these games. Is not so assured anymore. Right now, FAU looks a little scary. And while UTSA sucks, they are awful. So did Old Dominion, right? That's about it for me. I don't know if I can say anything else about this game. What else do I have here? I think just a final note on Seth Luttrell being good. I believe in his team. I think they're on the right track. And I think if you want to compare to somebody, look at the guy that was hired at the same time, Frank Wilson. In his third season, they are awful on offense. Their defense is getting sliced up. They allowed 45 to FIU. And yeah, sure, a couple of those were because of turnovers, right? One was a pick six. But it's all part of the team. The team allowed 45 points, right? It's not only just because, you know, the defense's job. The defense is primarily responsible for stopping scoring. But, hey, the whole team is allowing points. 45 points to FIU. Week before that, 52 to UAB. This team is bad on both sides of the ball. And, you know, I wouldn't want to be in UTSA's position. I'm glad we have Seth Luttrell. I'm glad we can complain about only our third loss of the season. But yeah, no, it's not. I'm not happy about the whole thing. I'm not excited about it. You know, that was bad. That was a stupid loss, a silly loss, but the kind of thing that does happen on the way to improving as a team. And so I'm looking forward to that happening. We just got to make sure that happens, right? The other part about Harrell, right? When Seth Luttrell hired Graham Harrell, he did it knowing his limitations, right? Meaning that he knew that he hadn't coordinated a college offense, right? I mean, he did take over some play calling, and quarterbacks are heavily involved in the game plan, et cetera, right? Graham Harrell is one of the greatest college football players of all time. And, you know, he's a good offensive mind. He went and learned with Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks of all time. He is a good coach. But he's also a young coach, right? I mean, just like Michael Jordan was one of the greatest basketball players of all time, but at 19, he was more potential than he was, you know, actual application. Same thing with, like, LeBron. He comes in at 22. He's not the same player he is at 32, right? All the way down the line. Tom Brady, 19, wasn't as great as he was at, you know, 30, 32 or whatever. Graham Harrell is a young coach. He's still learning. I think he's shown improvement. I think he's developing along with his players, and I think he's going to be a really good coach. And if this is all we can get from him right now, I'm happy. That I'm fine. I like the whole setup because you have an experienced coordinator in Seth Luttrell kind of there supervising him and guiding him along. He likes what Harrell is doing. He likes the way he's game planning. He likes the calls that he's making. And he also has veto power over some of those calls if he doesn't like them, right? This doesn't come down to play calling, although that's a contributing factor. It doesn't just come down to offensive line play, although that's a contributing factor. It doesn't come down to the running backs, although that's a factor, right? Don't fumble the ball. It doesn't come down to the receivers, right? although that's a factor, don't drop the ball, right? You know, make a play, get open. Everybody's contributing to this, and that's the way the football goes. That's the way college football goes. That's the way Conference USA football goes. UAB nearly lost to a very iffy USM last night, and UAB is the best team in this conference, right? Their defense is phenomenal, and their offense does just enough. Sometimes you have games like this. We always thought this was likely. Old Dominion had talent. It's a long road trip, considering the time of the year, right? Things could fall apart. I was concerned about Old Dominion. They gave North Texas a game last season. I had Old Dominion as a maybe, kind of doing some damage to us, and UAB just because it was a road trip. Both of those were losses. And, I mean, all told, North Texas hasn't got the doors beaten off of them yet, right? That's an improvement. Last season against FAU, clearly second best. Last season against SMU, clearly second best. Last season against Troy, clearly second best, right? This season, North Texas in all three losses, make a field goal, you win the game, right? Make a stop or don't fumble at the six, you win the game. In this one, make a stop, you win the game. Those are right at the door. This is all improvement, right? And I think that's the important takeaway here. And North Texas will be fine, right? There's still three games to play. Three more chances to get three more wins. And, you know, I like where they're at, although it's not ideal. And that's about it, I think. You can let me know what you think. You can email the show, MeanGreenNation.com. It's podcast at MeanGreenNation.com. You can tweet at MeanGreenNation. I'll get that, right? You can let me know. And if you want to talk to Aldo, he's Aldo Avina on Twitter, or you can just email the show, podcast at MeanGreenNation.com. I'll pass it along to him. Say, here's what the people thought of you. Do we want to go through some of these stats? 26 of 44, 240 yards. Not the greatest day throwing for Mason Fine. Was it 37 attempts to wide receivers, only 26 catches. Rico Bussey targeted 9 times, 6 grabs. DeAndre Torrey, 5 catches. Jalen Darden, 6 targets, 4 grabs. Jalen Guyton, 6 targets, only 3 grabs, 28 yards. That's bad. Compare that to Travis Fulgham, 17 targets, 8 catches, 155 yards, a score, right, including a 61-yarder. Jonathan Duhart, 9 targets, 6 grabs, 80 yards, a score, including the long of 36 that got him into position. Isaiah Harper, 9 targets, 4 grabs, 66 yards, and he had the 153-yarder that kept their drive alive and got him down the field. Blake LaRusso was 21 of 43 for 301 yards. That's very old school. Just throw it up there, see what happens, see if it works. Lala Davis, 18 rushes, 50 yards, 2 scores. Only 2.8 yards per attempt. The defense did an okay job, and that's what's frustrating about this, except when it mattered, right? That's when it really mattered. North Texas outgained them, had 4.8 yards per play to their 4.7. North Texas was sacked how many times? Twice. But one was, you know, a crucial one, and one killed the drive, basically. Bad stuff. What was the third down conversions? Let me look at that. Conversions. Where am I looking here? Third down attempts for North Texas. 17, only converted 6, 35%. Average down, average yards to go, 5.9. It's not ideal. 0 for 3 on third and longs on 9+. 3 of 6 on third and shorts, 1 to 4. That's not great. I'd like to see that about, 40%. I'd like to see that around 70%. Average yard gained seven yards. Third down passing, 7 of 13 for 72 yards. 4 first downs by pass. Wasn't sacked by that, but we don't have the fourth downs here. I think another note, I forgot somebody was telling me the fourth down attempt, I guess you want to call it, the fake field goal, that was bad. You know, in retrospect, that didn't really have the same kind of effect that you think it has. You're kind of kind of upset about it, right? Like, oh, I can't believe they did that. Why are they doing that? But at that point, North Texas was up 28-17. It's, you know, and they're in their territory, like the six. It's a fine. It's a fine place to go for it. I don't mind being aggressive, especially considering the situation. North Texas got a stop, got a three and out, and then they drove down, got a field goal. So that made it 31-17. Going for it there didn't lose them the game, right? It was fine. It was a good time to be aggressive. I think what's concerning is that North Texas only had four plays that were chunk yards passing and three plays rushing. I don't know. It's just like North Texas can't get big plays anymore. And I think, a lot of that is because they're flooding the field and we can't run the ball the way we want to, making them pay for flooding the field. 18-yard rush for Torrey, and was that the first quarter, right? And then a 37-yard run in the first quarter. And then the third quarter, got a 16-yard run. That was it. That was a big plays running the ball. Longest passes for North Texas, 23-26. It was 26, that touchdown to Bussey. And then 15 and 16. I mean, you'd like to see, like, at least three or four passes, the 15 and 16 yards. You know, one or two of 20, and then, like, at least one of 40, right? Just in the game. Not hitting on those. And I can't even remember them challenging anybody deep. And again, I think a lot of that is them flooding the field, two deep safeties, saying throw it underneath, and North Texas can't. Some of that's because Mason Fine has no time, and some of that's just because we can't run the ball to keep them honest and change the looks that we're seeing. That's it. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm done talking about this game. It's a short turnaround before FAU. That's on Thursday. It's televised. This is not the game that we all thought it was going to be. We thought it was going to be maybe a preview of the conference title game again, and it's not. Instead, it's just a couple. It's a game between a couple of teams that have regrets about the way the season went. Anyways, thanks for listening to the show. Gumming Green.